Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a look at some of the things you'll have on the ballot during the 13 hours for the spring election this Tuesday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Polls open all across the state. Plus, we'll hear from Rick Yoder about Poly Raise and Liberty Sales. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Lots to cover regarding the election this April 4th. Early voting has finished for the past couple of weeks, Tuesday through Friday the previous week and Monday through Friday this past week, but the early voting is done, and now we move on. And topping the ballot for Tuesday is the big 10-year term on the state Supreme Court. Will it be liberal Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz, or will it be the former state Supreme Court Justice, conservative Dan Kelly? Henri Schatzinger, interim director of Center for Politics and the People at Ripon College, says the stakes are really high in this state Supreme Court race.
I mean, if we look at the level of polarization in this country and also in the state, and if we look at the split power that we have at the state level, chances are that some important issues are going to end up in the courts. And so at the same time, incumbency is strong, and whoever gets elected will be there for at least 10 years, and chances are that person may be there for a couple of decades. And so from all of those things combined, I think that this election really matters.
When he talks about some cases making their way to that court, remember, it's a 4-3 conservative majority right now, and Pat Rogensack, in her 80s, she's stepping down. It's a 10-year term. So, I mean, U.S. senators get 6 years. This is a 10-year term on the court. Dustin Brown, the senior staff attorney with the State Democracy Research Initiative at UW-Madison Law School, tells Wisconsin Eye that if Justice Protasiewicz is elected, then he expects
that a lawsuit would be filed, you know, again, if the composition of the court changes, you know, pretty much as soon as that happens, as soon as the composition of the court changes. And in these cases, they're challenging cases. They're very fact intensive. But they can be done quickly, and courts are accustomed to doing that. So I think we can expect that the question would be resolved in time for new maps to be in place for the November 2024 election.
Meanwhile, beyond the state Supreme Court race, which is huge and topping the ballot statewide, various other election information for you to be aware of. The Eau Claire City Council has a position of council president up for election on Tuesday. The council includes 11 members who each serve a 3-year term, including 5 elected by district, 5 at large, and 1 elected city council president. And so that president election is on the ballot. Terry Weld has been in that position, appointed to the city council in 2017, elected council president in 2019 when he ran unopposed. He will not be seeking re-election. Emily Berge, the current vice president, the only person who filed to run, and Weld has said he supports her. Now, if Berge wins that election, which is likely on Tuesday, her seat would be vacant. In that case, her seat could either be filled by the appointment of a Northside Eau Claire resident, or a special election may be held. In either of those cases, the person who fills Berge's seat will continue to serve in that position until next year's spring election in April. Meanwhile, the village of Fall Creek is governed by 6 village trustees led by the village president. Odd years like this, 2023, the chairperson and 2 supervisors are elected, and even 2 supervisors are elected. Each member represents 1,424 people, or the population of the village of Fall Creek. Regular board meetings held each month on the second Monday at 6 p.m. This spring, 3 of the trustee positions are up for election, as well as the village president. The current president is Timothy Rapp. He's facing a challenge from Karen Hurd, also the state representative in the 68th Assembly District, but she serves on the Fall Creek board as well. Hurd and Mark Prankus, West Bennett, Dusty Levasseur, Karen Herbison, and Matt Mattoon are on the ballot as well for those 3 trustee positions. Meanwhile, the town of Washington is governed by a 5-member town board consisting of a chairperson and 4 supervisors. And this spring, 2 of the supervisor positions are up for election, as well as the chairman position. Supervisor currently held by Andrea Cott and Jane Mueller. The chairman held by Michael Peterson, who's declared non-candidacy, and Andrea Cott also not running. Those running for town chair in the town of Washington, Kyle Nyseth and Robert Solberg. Those running for the 2 supervisor positions are incumbent Jane Mueller, and challengers James Rolbicki and Dory Pulse. Meanwhile, the Eau Claire School District is electing two board members on Tuesday. The school board is made up of seven members who serve nonpartisan three-year terms. And this year, Vice President Lori Bica and Treasurer Phil Lyons both had terms ending, and those seats up for election. Bica is running for re-election. Lyons has filed for non-candidacy. Frankie Bovee, Jarrett Dement, and Sally Huffy also filed to run and are on the ballot along with Bica. There was not a primary back in February for that. Meanwhile, the Altoona School Board electing two members with three on the ballot. The incumbents, Hillary Roth and Nicole Breed, have their terms ending. They're up for another term to go into April of 2026, and also challenger Lauren Otto on the ballot. There's an Altoona school referendum, which we'll get to later as well. The Fall Creek School District will be electing two board members on Tuesday. The school board made up of five members total who serve nonpartisan three-year terms. The school board's clerk, Ann Marie Anderson, and treasurer, Jill Geske, both have terms ending this month. Those seats up for election for terms lasting until April of 2026. And the four candidates who will be on the ballot on Tuesday, Jill Geske, Amy Kurtz, Ann Marie Anderson, and Jessica Mattson. Voters will vote for two of those candidates. Meanwhile, there are various referendums to be aware of as you head to the ballot on Tuesday, three of them statewide. Question one, if the majority votes yes for that, that referendum will change the state constitution. It could make it harder for people accused of crimes to get out of jail on bail and would allow the state legislature to define serious harm in relation to deciding bail conditions. Question two on the ballot statewide is cash bail before conviction. If voted yes, this referendum will change the state constitution and allow judges to consider various factors when imposing cash bail. The factors are listed in the question on the ballot. And third state question, shall able-bodied childless adults be required to look for work in order to receive taxpayer-funded welfare benefits? This is an advisory, non-binding question. However, a yes vote means you support the state legislature requiring able-bodied childless adults to look for work before receiving welfare benefits. There's also, in Eau Claire County, there's also an abortion ban referendum. This is also advisory and non-binding. And in the Altoona School District as well, the question, shall the district be authorized to issue an amount not to exceed $26 million for the public purpose of paying the cost of a school building and facility improvement project consisting of the acquisition of land and a building for an early elementary school, including renovations to and equipping the building and district-wide capital maintenance, building infrastructure, and site improvements. If voters approve it, taxpayers will see an increase in their property taxes. The Altoona School District looking to buy and remodel the National Business Institute. This space would hold 4K, kindergarten, and first grade, which includes 350 to 375 students. If voters approve it, taxpayers will pay an additional 69 cents for every $1,000 of assessed value on their properties. And finally, in the village of Lake Halley, two referendum questions. The first looks to generate $110,000 to cover law enforcement expenses, including adding a 12th full-time police officer. And the second question also looking to raise a total of $700,000, part of that earmarked for public safety debt service. On March 23rd, we had a guest join us in studio during the WIB Wake Up Show, and Caleb Swenson introduces him.
So Dana Yoder of Edina Realty joined us yesterday, made 3 out of 5 shots, and now her husband Rick Yoder of Polly Ray's and Liberty Sales, Blade Works as well, here with us on the WIB Wake Up Show. Rick, welcome. Good to have you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, we've talked with you before. Again, you've been an advertiser for several years for Polly Ray's, and you have an incredible business there. When we're talking about settled concrete, you've done it for us here at the station, leveling that and making it not such a hazard and maybe not allowing water to get into foundations and such. So you have that wonderful business that folks can contact you about, but also maybe a little bit more recently, Liberty Sales, Liberty, L-I-B-E-R-T-E, Liberty Sales that folks can look up. Tell us about that nonprofit, how that came to be, and how your business ventures feed into supporting what you do for veterans.
Yeah, so Liberté, or Liberté, the French word, liberty meaning freedom or without hindrance or restraint. That started, actually, my wife and I took up sailing years and years ago, probably in the early 2000s, and while sailing up in Lake Superior, we run across a gentleman that had actually broke his neck bronc riding. Mm. And We took him and his family out, him and his wife actually up for a day of sailing on Lake Superior. And while up there, providing that opportunity on the water, we just really saw...
It's emotional for you to think about this and how this came to be, how God has led you to do this.
It is, because what we saw was an individual that had experienced a traumatic injury, and we were just able to provide him a day on the water that he was able to experience. It's hard for me to even put this into words because it's very emotional to see and to see what that opportunity brought that gentleman. At the end of the day, he said, "Rick, I just want to say thank you for providing that opportunity and time up there, because that I've never experienced the freedom that we."
I think so many times, and we'll talk about again veterans and disabled veterans, but so much focus is on the disability. But there's something about being out in God's creation on the water with the wind and the waves and sailing that's incredibly freeing, and focusing on what abilities do they have and not focusing on that disability. And I think, again, close to the creator. And that's what this young man who had a broken neck. I mean, you've shared this story with me before too. Just the freeing feeling that was to be close to the God who made him.
Yes. He was just very thankful for the opportunity to experience peace, joy. He said he's never felt that free before, you know, since his injury, you know, after a day on the water. He said, "Man, I just want to say thank you because I haven't felt that free." You know, and we want to provide an opportunity for our veterans. We love our veterans. We are here. We have the ability to live in this great free country that we live in today because of our veterans that have some provided and given their lives for us to allow the freedom that we experience here. And we want to be able to provide them with an opportunity to we just want to be a blessing. Honestly, the bottom line is we want to be a blessing to them and say thank you for serving our country and giving us the freedoms that we have, and we just want to be able to give back to them in a measure that would bring peace, joy. They can focus on the abilities and not the disability, you know, and experience freedom for themselves by being on the water.
And Ricky said that when you are in season doing this, you do it about one day a week, typically on a Saturday, but you'd love to do it more.
Yeah, we would. Our goal is obviously we'd love to do this full time. Right now we have several vessels. We have one on Lake Superior or Lake Wasota, and then one up in Green Bay area, north of Green Bay, about an hour in Lake Michigan. There, and we're able to provide the opportunity at least once a week for them to come out on the water. Them and their families. We take a veteran and up to a family of five. And a typical day would be, you know, we meet in the morning and we have kind of an orientation. We bring them the basics of sailing, provide them with an opportunity to jump on the vessel. We do a safety check. We kind of go through, you know, all the things on that vessel, and then we shove off and have an afternoon of sailing out there where they can experience, you know, harnessing the wind and harnessing those things, and they can pick a destination. They can go, if they want to go around an island, we can point in that direction, and we can teach them and show them how to sail. We give them the opportunity to actually have time at the helm. They can run the grinders, they can run the winches, you know, trim the sails, whatever they want to do. We want to give them an opportunity to do whatever they would like, to be a part of that, not just taking them out for a ride.
And Rick, again, Rick Yoder of Polyrays and Liberty Sails. Again, there's no way we can possibly cover everything you do, but where do folks get more information if they'd like to find out more about how they can contribute, how they can help, or maybe they know a veteran that could benefit from this? How do they get in touch with Liberty Sails and you?
Yep, they can go to Liberty Sails, LIBERTESales.org. And there's a tab there that says veterans, and if they know a veteran that could benefit from something like this, you know, they can fill out a form that we have there. If they would like to be a part of the program and help donate to sponsor a veteran, we've got a donate tab there. They can press that and then make a donation to that as well. And one of the things that we really have on our heart is we want to provide an actual sailboat for one veteran every year. Mm-hmm. And so our goal is to donate one vessel every year to a veteran. You know, and last year we had a gentleman come through and he really showed great interest in sailing and we were teaching him and our goal is to actually present him with his very own vessel this year.
Wow.
And that's part of one of the goals is to because they experience such freedom and peace and joy, we don't want that to end on just one opportunity. We want them to be able to experience that on a daily basis or however they would like.
That's incredibly generous and thoughtful. Some of the work you're doing, it reminds me of Tony Matson, the equine therapy, approach, but again, both ministering to veterans and having that impact in terms of whether it's with a horse or on the open adventure of the water on a sailboat. So, Rick, thanks so much to you and Dana.
Rick Yoder of Poly Rays and Liberty Sails there, sharing the vision that he and his wife Dana have to introduce veterans to sailing and give one sailboat away every year. That's fantastic. Thanks to Rick for joining us on the March 23rd WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB and WIB.com. And again, earlier in this week's Chippewa Valley This Week, with the election just 2 days away, polls open statewide from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. all across the state, headlined by that big state Supreme Court race. And again, it's a 4-3 conservative majority right now, but conservative Justice Pat Rogensack retiring, a 10-year term on the line, liberal Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz, and conservative former Justice Dan Kelly squaring off, but a number of other things that you're going to be asked to vote on, some statewide referendums we covered earlier as well. Thanks so much for listening to Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson.